Hour DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you on this Wednesday morning. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Congratulations, Chris, in Decaturville. Chris was listening, and Chris was lucky caller 9, and now Chris is going to Kevin Hart at Bridgestone Arena on August the 3rd. It pays to listen to the DDC. Let's go to Mitch Light from The Athletic. Boy, there's been a lot of news in the college football world. Well, really, college sports world. A lot of shuffling. Something that took everybody by surprise. USC and UCLA heading to the Big Ten. Who couldn't have seen that coming? That was easy to predict. Right, Mitch?
No one saw that coming. It's interesting, Darren, like the two biggest news items, I guess, in college football, maybe, you know, I don't know how many years, were basically in an industry that is just deals with rumors and sources and all that stuff. No one knew anything. Now, you know, the Houston Chronicle got the scoop on the on Texas A&M, Texas in Oklahoma, but that came out of nowhere in this one. It was funny, last week, where every Thursday at noon we have an editor's meeting. There's seven of us around the country, and we're on Zoom. We're just kind of talking stuff like that, and then kind of two or three people started looking at their phones, and you could tell they were looking at their computer, and everyone's like, something weird's going on in the Big Ten. And then someone's like, yeah, I just heard from one of our writers that said the Big Ten Network, they called all their employees in and took away their cell phones this morning.
And then, wow.
Yeah, and then the news broke, and, you know, we have some of the best, you know, not the only good ones, but some of the best news breakers in the industry. And we're trying to get to our meeting. Finally, we just said, screw it. You know, we'll do this later. So we all started talking to our writers. You know, I got Big Ten writers, national writers, all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it came out of nowhere. And stuff like this, usually it wasn't one of those rumors that could happen. It was so far along that it was pretty much a done deal. And by Thursday night, I guess the Big Ten presidents were meeting and made it official. So, yeah, I mean, just absolutely shocking, stunning, whatever word you want to say. I don't think anyone saw this coming.
Yeah, if there was a room full of cockroaches and you flipped on the lights, right, they'd be scurrying all over the place. That's probably what the Pac-12 offices look like right now. They're scurrying all over the place. They are probably freaking out because the next layer, Mitch, is, if you read the reports I was looking at yesterday, looks like the Big 12 is trying to poach Arizona, Arizona State, Utah. Come on over. Or everybody wants Oregon. Come on over. So how's the Pac-12 going to make this work? Because they look like the new Big 12, right? When the defection started happening, like the Big 12's done. Well, they're still here, and now it looks like that's probably going to shift to the Pac-12. Can they survive?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I find it really interesting, the Pac-12 versus the Big 12, and who kind of merges with who. And, you know, like you said, the rumors are out there that, you know, obviously the Big 12 is looking at six teams. But then you could say, you know, the Pac-12 is also, they issued a press release on Friday night or sometime over the weekend that said that, you know, they've given the school presidents have given the league permission to explore, you know, expansion issues or, you know, look at schools. And then they opened up prematurely opened up their media rights negotiations. You can say, well, they don't have any, you know, they're not really bargaining from a position of strength, but I think they're trying to show their existing schools that, hey, here's what we can get. And I'll agree with you, Darren, it does look like the Big 12 after Texas and Oklahoma shifted, but I would say that Oregon and Washington, at least to me, are two better, stronger anchor programs. Now, I don't think it's going to stay this way, but like if the Pac-12 did stay where it was and added like Fresno State and San Diego State and all that stuff, I think, again, those anchor programs at the top are better than anything the Big 12 currently has. And I know Baylor's been very good lately, and their TCU has been very good, but I think the Big 12 at least has those two schools at the top. But again, I don't think it's going to end up that way.
The Big 10 and the SEC have figured out how to generate the most revenue through their networks and their conference. They're divvying out the biggest checks. Mitch, it's not going to be long before we're talking about Greg Sankey down in Destin or wherever, a nice place on the beach, whenever they have their meetings and he brings checks for everybody to hand out. It's not going to be long before we're talking about each school getting $100 million, right? I mean, day's coming.
I think the Big Ten's closer.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what it's all about, obviously. I'm not breaking new ground here. You know, people ask me, you know, who know I'm like kind of in sports, like, you know, why is the USC doing this? Well, they're doing this because of money. And when the money wasn't what it is today, 10, 15, 20 years ago, everyone was making comparable. So it was not that big of a deal. Now, USC goes out and, you know, USC is a private school, so we don't know what they're paying Lincoln Riley, but everyone thinks it's sort of in that Brian Kelly, James Franklin, Mel Tucker range, you know, $10 million or whatever like that. So USC's in there. We're paying a coach $100 million. Again, I'm just making that number up. We need to compete for national championships. Are we going to be able to compete for national championships in our – and I'm not a money expert with all this stuff. There's people that follow it more, so I'm just kind of making up numbers. But if Big Ten and SEC schools are getting, you know, $100 million a year and we're getting $50 million a year, how are we supposed to keep up with what the Big Ten's doing, with what the SEC's doing? So that's their motivation right there. It's just like we have put our flag down that we're going to compete for national championships. We've hired what we think is the best coach in the country, maybe other than Nick Saban, and we can't operate at a disadvantage like this.
So do you think they told him, Mitch, like, hey, come here, look, you got to keep this on the DL, but
No chance.
So you don't think there was ever a hint we may move?
I would be stunned. I mean, I've talked to people who, you know, again, okay, I might look like an idiot, come back, but this was all in the past. You know, the people that the sources that our writers have talked to said this is all in the past 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay,
and you know, in the last two, this is interesting. A Big Ten president told one of our writers that 2 weeks ago they were asked to 2 weeks from the news breaking, so basically 3 weeks ago, they were asked to do a feasibility study in the Big Ten, each school of adding USC and UCLA. So it was kept under wraps for at least 2 weeks. And I guess their feasibility study guy said, yes, it's feasible. Let's do this.
We're talking to Mitch Light, editor for The Athletic when it comes to college football. And Mitch, you guys have had some great pieces in the aftermath of this. I mean, it is all angles, and it's so complicated to try to figure out where it's going to go. But do you envision something that ends up being two conferences that play sort of in their own world, like a new Big Ten, a new SEC that expands even further and sort of break away from everybody else? Do you think that's where we're going?
I mean, I want to preface this by saying literally no one knows. I mean, even the people that are much more involved than me don't know. But I would say yes, that appears to where we're going. And you get to a certain point, though, like, and people have joked, like, you know, the ESPN League and the Fox League. Like, once you get to a certain point, what's the point of calling it the SEC and the Big Ten? It's just two monster leagues. Now, I guess if you still have right. all those teams that we grew up watching, the anchors, it's still we're still thinking of the SEC. But if you've got, making this up, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and all this, you know, is it still the SEC? I mean, it is whatever you call it. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're – now, the interesting thing, really, is what happens to – if those two leagues get so big, then there's not enough quality teams elsewhere to form another super league. But let's say they stay at 16 and you got Clemson, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Oregon, Washington. I'm not saying they'd all be in the same league, but there might be enough good teams to form a third league, so to say. So, you know, but who knows? But to your point, Will, yes, I think that's where we're heading.
Is the ACC protected to some degree? It from losing, everybody looks at Clemson and says, well, look, this is an obvious fit for the SEC. They've got that kind of program. They would fit perfectly. But is the ACC protected from being poached because of their media rights deal?
Yeah, and what you're referring to is specifically the grant of rights, which is it 2036 it might be, where basically if you leave the league, you forfeit all of your media rights in your new league first. Again, I might be botching this, but basically it's very prohibitive for them to leave. You know, Andy Staples had a good piece, I think, Friday about that and, you know, whether or not legally that's binding. And I think it is, but here's another scenario. What if the ACC dissolves? Then there's no league to, you know, have media rights for. So that's one. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, contracts are made to be broken, but that seems to be one that is pretty prohibitive. So that is something to monitor. But I think if the SEC, you know, if Clemson wants to go to the SEC and they can get $100 million a year, then maybe it's worth forfeiting certain amount, whatever they would lose from leaving the ACC. Again, I don't know all the numbers there, but if they really want to do it, I think they'll do it.
This is another question that, of course, around here always gets asked. It has been for decades, as you know, Mitch, and that would be Vanderbilt's future in this new horizon, right? And you could probably ask the same question of some programs in the Big Ten who you know, see the accelerating revenues, but you also see the accelerating things like NIL. And the question is, you know, does Vanderbilt, A, want to be in there? And the number two, would they have a chance of being kicked out since it's so football-centric and Vanderbilt has not, you know, competed at that level? What do you answer to that?
It's a good question. You know, I've seen it, obviously. Don't know. Kicked out is a strong phrase. You know, I think there's only been one, you know, what Temple was kicked out of the Big East. I think Vanderbilt's spot, well, let me backtrack. Like, it's not just a Vanderbilt issue. Like, you know, Josh Kendall, who used to, you probably had him on your show, used to cover South Carolina for us, now covers the Falcons. He reached out to me about, like, South Carolina. It's like, you know, South Carolina people, you hear people worried about, you know, their spot going forward. Will there be a place for them? So it's not just a Vanderbilt issue. And you look at South Carolina, it's a huge state university. They have 80,000, you know, 80,000 great fans, resources, great facilities. If they're worried about their place, then, you know, a lot of schools should be. The way I would answer this is that I would feel better about Vanderbilt's spot than some of the, you know, Vanderbilt's in a better position because they're in the SEC, obviously, than Wake Forest, Duke, Washington State, Oregon State, some of those other schools that maybe traditionally haven't been consistently good in football. You know, Northwestern, Purdue. I mean, Northwestern's been good recently, but, you know, like, so I'd rather be in the Big Ten and SEC than not be. I think those teams are much stronger right now than they are, than some of their counterparts in other leagues. But the real interesting one, guys, is Cal and Stanford. I have no idea what's going to happen to those schools.
Hmm. Those are two good ones. And the other one I always think about is Notre Dame. What do they do with all of their brand and everything?
They are the big dog. They can do whatever they want. They can take their time. You know, what we're hearing lately, you know, the Big Ten is going to let Notre Dame decide could be 2 years. So, like, you hear Washington or Oregon, like, how do they try and stay with the – it doesn't look like the Big Ten right now is interested in those schools. They're interested in Notre Dame, but they're going to be patient with Notre Dame. And here's the thing, too, that happened on Friday, guys, and I didn't see much follow-up, but I know the legislators in Oregon and Washington are trying to tie Oregon State to Oregon and Washington State to Washington. That, like, if – you know, we've seen this happen in Texas over the years. So that would really hurt Oregon and Washington's attempt to switch leagues if they have to bring Washington State and Oregon State with them. So that's I haven't seen anything on that in the past few days, but that was a thing on Friday that they were trying to do.
Interesting to see how all this is going to play when the music finally stops, or maybe it never stops. I don't know. But where all this is going to land. Mitch, really appreciate it. Hope you're having a good summer. You continue to have a good summer, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, guys. See ya.
Mitch Light from The Athletic. Good stuff from him. In fact, I was literally just reading a tweet from Gary Parrish saying exactly what we're talking about. I mean, just a minute ago he tweeted out, are the Big Ten and SEC going to stop at 16? Well, that's what we were talking about yesterday. Can the Pac-12 survive this wave of realignment? We just talked about that with Mitch. Should it try to merge with the Big 12? We just talked about that with Mitch because that is kind of the rumor. You see all six schools possibly interested in the Big 12 from the Pac-12. Is the ACC vulnerable? We just talked about this today and yesterday. So this is one of the hot topics. Where is all this going when the music stops? We'll continue the discussion on the other side. Good stuff there on the DDC. 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app.